We're back here to the Neil Haley Show, and I love talking to authors. And this title is really interesting, so I'm excited to welcome to the program Luke Angstadt. And we're going to talk today about, and we're going to talk about his YouTube channel, but also his book that is now available on Amazon. People could check it, The Musings of De La Pew. How are you, Luke? Thanks for stopping by.
I'm doing great, Neil. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and then we'll get into why you decided to write a book.
Okay. My name's Luke Angstadt. I grew up in Pennsylvania, about 75 miles outside of Philadelphia. And as a kid, I had a curiosity for why things are. Why are things the way they are, as opposed to why aren't they another way? And that interest always stuck with me as a kid. And then when I turned 20 years old, there was one moment where I came across a book when I was 20 years old. There was a book called Dangling in the Tornofortia by an author named Charles Bukowski. And as a kid, I only read books that I was forced to read in school. So I wasn't always terribly interested in reading as a kid, but it was this one book called Dangling in the Tornofortia by Charles Bukowski. I came across it in March of 2001. And that book kind of set me on the path of discovery, self-discovery, and learning about the nature of reality, the nature of God, human beings, and the relationship between all three of them. And it's just been a lifelong passion for me ever since.
So when you decided to write a book, what was the reason you said, okay, I've been passionate about writing and decided finally I'm going to write a book?
Yeah. I really wanted to know why are things the way they are, as opposed to why aren't they something else? And I wanted to know God, I guess. I wanted to know the nature of God. And I thought by knowing the nature of God, I would be able to better understand myself and my place in this world.
Okay. All right. So tell us about the book.
Okay. So the book, I guess the crux of the matter, I would say, is that I see there in the, I think things are incredibly, they're incredibly simple. And it almost takes a child to explain something to an adult. But what I see here is I see there being a breakdown in the very first principles of the universe. And that is, I see the universe as being a single living, breathing organism having an experience. And that may sound like a mouthful, that may sound whimsy, but I take that to be literally so. And I think that this being, this infinite eternal being, I mean, some people call him God, some people call him the Atman, I call him infinite eternal consciousness. But I find this formless, bodiless being that permeates all of existence. In order for it to experience anything, it takes on these vehicles for experience, avatars, if you will. And I think human beings, in a very real sense, similar to the James Cameron movie Avatar, we are avatars, we are vehicles by which this infinite eternal spirit being that permeates all of the universe, it takes on these vehicles for experience, just to have an experience of anything. And what I see is I see there being a breakdown, a schism at the very heart of existence. And that is when this being, call him God, calling the big kahuna, the big is, the moment he takes this first step outside of eternity, there is a breakdown in communication between these individual points of expression, these individual perspectives by which God, for a lack of a better word, or even maybe it's the best word we have, these individual points of perspective by which God is able to have an experience on the temporal plane of existence. God has a disconnect with those vehicles, with the creation, if you will. So, I mean, I see a breakdown at that relationship between creator and creation.
And we understand, so Luke, you're basically saying that there has to be a better relationship with a God and the back and forth and understanding things then.
There absolutely is, yes. And I think that this breakdown is so obvious and it's so self-evident that that's why we miss it, you know, because it's staring us in the face. I think it's been staring us in the face for all of history. And I think because it is so self-evident, that's why we miss it. That's why it's so elusive. It's almost like a catch 22, and it's the irony of ironies.
Definitely it's the irony of irons. And what would you, in the book, do you kind of talk about more the relationship, or you look at also the other part of it, that basically how we can.
Yeah, I mean, I basically, Neil, I have an ongoing conversation with myself and God and myself and the universe that I started when I was 20 years old. And I finished it when I was 40 years old, and I pretty much followed my thought process with a fine tooth comb, or I'm mixing my metaphors, but I followed my thought process and my observations and my development and understanding myself and the universe and God. I followed that very acutely closely for 20 years. And my book is just like it's an ongoing conversation with the universe.
Definitely an ongoing conversation, and that's mm-hmm. important. And what do you ask the universe, Luke?
I guess I ask myself. That's a really good question. That's a really good question, Neil. And I haven't really asked myself that before. But what do I ask? I'll come to it. I guess what do I ask the universe? I ask the universe and I ask myself. What will it take for a reunion of sorts? What will it take for a union? What will it take to harmonize that disunity that I see at the very heart of existence? So I ask myself, what will it take on my part? What will it even take on the universe's part? And I think the intimation that I have is, and this kind of segues into a YouTube channel that I have, and my YouTube channel is titled The Business of Esoteric Knowledge and Wisdom. And I'm a co-host with a friend of mine in Serbia. His name's Peter Rusevic, and he's also an author as well. And he has looked very closely at esoteric knowledge, at the occult, and just hidden knowledge and wisdom, and not looking at it with any negative or positive connotation, just looking at it neutrally. Is that that's so much of history that has been systematically and intentionally suppressed from people, and I think that one of the best things we can do is having an ongoing conversation, just talking about the nature of the universe, talking about wisdom and knowledge that has been hidden from people. Even to give you an example, I mean, I always circle back to Plato, and because Plato will always be timeless. And when people say that Plato, everything that all of Western thought is a footnote to Plato, it's no overstatement. I mean, it's no exaggeration. And what I come back to Plato's Republic in Book 8, where Plato is talking about what happens to free societies. And I think here in the United States for quite some time, we have had a very free society. But Plato talks about in society, where as societies become more and more free, and for lack of a better word, we call them democracies. But as societies become more and more free, they become inundated with choices. And there comes a point where once society as a whole is overwhelmed with choice, where they reach a certain capitulation point where they are so overwhelmed with a superabundance of choice that the collective subconscious of people actually demand a dictatorship, actually demand a tyranny. So what happens is that all free societies, as they become more and more free, they will eventually devolve into a state of into an intermediate stage of chaos before they ultimately devolve into tyranny. And I find that to be as topical as anything today. We see what's happened over the past 2 years under after the COVID lockdowns. We've seen the eradications of our freedoms so rapidly, not just over the past 2 years, but in particular since 9/11. So I think that if people had just like this is one of the greatest examples I can think of. If people would have the historical perspective of Plato and knowing that almost all of Western thought has followed from Plato, and that people back when the toga was in vogue were wrestling with this idea of how do we evolve, how do we avoid devolving into a totalitarian, tyrannical, fascist dictatorship. I think it humbles us. And it gives us a whole new perspective on life, knowing that a lot of the issues, almost all of the issues today, ancient human beings were wrestling with the same problems. So circling back to your original question, Neil, I think having an ongoing conversation about history, philosophy, theology, the occult, I think shedding light on the unknown, because so much of fear is primarily based upon the unknown. So I guess I see with my book and also with my YouTube channel, just by shining a light on the unknown goes a long way to eradicating fear. I mean, the spirit of fear in particular.
All right. Well, that's great information. And it really goes into really philosophy. See, an ongoing conversation So you're in a conversation with God all the time. Who wrote Conversations with God? Is that St. Augustine?
You know what? I'm familiar with the title, Neil, but I don't recall the author.
Yeah, I think it was St. Augustine that wrote Conversations with God and talked about specifically having that conversation with God on an ongoing basis, keeps that relationship going and keeps you really becoming an infinite being on this planet. And that where you become, you become holy, you become celestial if you have that conversation with God on a regular basis. So great information for sure. Where could
and Neil, to your point, that's an excellent point. And I think what you were describing there is the nature of prayer too. I mean, prayer is having that ongoing conversation with the universe, and prayer means many things to many different people with many different spiritual and religious persuasions and convictions. But it really speaks to what is the nature of prayer, and the nature of prayer is having that ongoing conversation with God, the universe, or whatever, however we choose to describe that infinite being that resides at the source from which everything that vibrates comes from. I mean, we're having that ongoing dialogue, and I think that's the very nature of prayer.
Exactly, for sure. So where can people pick up your book, Luke?
It's available at Amazon.com. Again, it's titled The Musings of De La Pue.
Fantastic. And do you have a website too, Luke?
I don't have a website. I also have a YouTube channel, though. There are some audio chapters, some spoken audio chapters under the title of The Musings of De La Pue. And you will also find the ongoing conversation that ties into the book, the research that went into the book. You will find that at the YouTube channel titled The Business of Esoteric Knowledge and Wisdom. And I also have a co-host. His name's Peter Rusevich, who is quite the expert on Nikola Tesla. But it's Peter and I are kind of in the beginning of stages of getting it off the ground, and I think we put a lot of great material out there right now. We're both kind of getting familiar with the medium of doing a YouTube channel, being in the moment and trying to be as sharp as possible in the moment. So you like again, just to recap, The Musings of De La Pue on Amazon, and you can also find the YouTube channel is The Business of Esoteric Knowledge and Wisdom.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks again, Luke, for coming by. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley, or you're listening to The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.